It's time for Golf DMV, highlighting golf in D.C., Maryland, Virginia, and anywhere they travel. If you love golf and like to laugh, Golf DMV is your place. This ain't your stuffy, snobby, boring golf show. It's Golf DMV.
Welcome back to Golf DMV, brought to you in part by Cachet Spine and Sports. We'll have a Cachet update coming up in just seconds, by the way, from Lawrence Brooks. Just a few updates from me. Number one, we do have new Golf DMV masks available. Just go to golfdmv.com. You can order your masks right there because, let's be honest, you're going to be wearing your masks for a while here in the country. And even if you travel international, you might as well wear your Golf DMV mask. Mm-hmm. So if you want to order one, go to golfdmv.com. They're also brought to you in part by Cachet Spine Sports, but also presumably maybe brought to you in part by Body Bliss. You can go to bodybliss.com. Do not purchase anything from Body Bliss if you're listening to this. Just go to the website, check out the men's watch collection. It is very possible that pretty soon we will be doing a Body Bliss kind of partnership. Do not buy anything from them until we give you the promo code, okay? So what I'm saying is go to the website.
It's a window shopping.
Mm-hmm. No matter window shop, no matter what you see, do not purchase anything. From what I can tell, they specialize a lot in women's athletic gear and women's swimsuits. Mm. But they're opening up a men's watch collection. They have reached out to us about being sponsors and promoting their men's watch stuff. But we've locked it in, but it hasn't officially begun yet. I just want everyone who listens to the show to go to bodybliss.com, check out what they have. Do not buy anything from these people yet. Mm-hmm. Don't spend your money on right. it.
Until Get the code, people. Wait for the code.
Until
the
we code. Tell you to. And I swear to goodness, when y'all buy something, y'all better use this code. If y'all listen to this show and y'all don't use the promo code, I don't know what I'm gonna do. I don't know.
You're not hit with us no more.
Well, yeah, you're not gonna be able to play golf with us anymore. And I have literally almost hit Vern and Sherman with a 5-wood kind of like splice mm-hmm. right down the fairway. Mm-hmm. I almost hit them both. I will, and it wasn't on purpose. I will hit you on purpose with a golf ball if you do not use the code when it's time to buy stuff from Body Bliss. Just go to their website and check it out, and we'll let you know when it's time to buy stuff from them. But without further ado, we do have a Dr. Smith update. Lawrence Brooks, take us to the moment where you knew, I've mm-hmm. got to go see Dr. Smith because something's not right about my back. No. And as Ice Cube once said, you can do it, put your back into it. Put your back into it.
Yes, yeah, so I'll make this brief. Saturday, I was working in the yard doing some stuff that I should have done years ago. And lo and behold, I hurt my back. We'll leave it at that. Okay. Which caused me at 4 a.m. to cancel my round for Sunday playing golf with these guys at Needwood because I was in so much pain. So today I went to see Dr. Smith because I needed help. And she took care of me. She gave me some dry needles. I don't know if you all have dry needles before. It's like acupuncture, but not the same thing, but different. Okay. If I feel a lot better. I feel a lot better today than I did. Even this morning, I had a hard time getting out of the bed again.
Really?
Yeah, it's tightened up overnight. So she took care of me. I'm nice and limber right now. Nice. And then I left and I got home. I was like, you know what? Because I'm on this workout routine that I do on Monday through Thursday. And I was like, oh man, can I work out? So I called back. It's like, hey, can I do my workout? She's like, I think you ought to wait one more day. Because I was feeling good. I was feeling good enough to work out. So, but yeah, she's doing well. She is going to be moving to a new location in the same building, but to a bigger space.
Nice.
So she's going to have some new equipment and some more things going on in her office there. And we discussed doing an open house this summer once things open up a little bit more. And you people who are getting vaccinated do that. And we'll leave it right there about the vaccination. And we'll try and do a live show from that location sometime this summer. So keep your ears open for that as well.
Wow, this can be possibly our two live shows for Golf DMV could possibly be at Cache Spine Sports new location and at her wedding reception where we're planning on doing a live show. But we'll keep everybody posted on not only the new location, but also on her wedding plans and the receptions.
Two details from there really quick that LB just glossed over. The one, my favorite, he told us when he canceled golf, he said, "I can't even get my pants on." One. And then two, from just now, just hearing that story just now, I think it's interesting that you went in after all the pain you told us you were in this weekend, you go in, you get fixed up, you feel the limber, and then you immediately ask, "Hey, can I get back in this intense workout that I was just doing?" You don't even give it a day. "Hey, I want to enter the strongman competition and lift blocks over my shoulders. Am I good to do that now?" "Oh, no? Oh, okay."
Yeah, wait one more
Meanwhile,
day.
Meanwhile, with day. The backdrop of, you know, after our round Sunday, we were going to, you know, just kind of meet, talk about some Golf DMV stuff, how we can better serve the Golf DMV community. Mm-hmm. And Lauren said, "Hey, I can't play, but I'll be there for the meeting." Vern, myself, and Glenn, we pull up in the cars. We're going to, you know, dump the clubs out in the trunks, and we see Lawrence in the parking lot, looking very upset, like very mean. And
seething,
so Vern
seething in the car.
Vern and I literally talk to each other, like, "What is he so mad at? Is he mad at us? Is he mad at the situation? Like, what is he upset about at this moment?" Because we couldn't tell, because we didn't know whether his face was already, you know, in this upset kind of posture. Or right. Whether it got that way when he saw us pull up. So we didn't know. LB, at that moment, you know, I guess it was 4:25 on Sunday afternoon.
Right.
What were you upset at? Were you upset at us or were you upset at the
situation? No, I wasn't upset with you. I was upset with myself for being in the condition that I could not play. You know, and I'm getting to a point in my, I have to start paying people to do things that I normally would do myself.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's where I am in my life. I'm going to have to start trying the Republican trickle-down theory. I need to put some money into the economy.
The Ronald Reagan trickle-down economics. Yes.
I need to put some money into the economy and let some people do some of this manual labor stuff that I normally would do myself.
Well, here's the thing. You say you're at the point now, you may be thinking of age, but Vernon and I are thinking about money. You have the money to pay somebody else to do some of the things that you don't have to do anymore.
Fortunately, I do. So, but just quick story. I would. My father was a do-it-yourselfer.
Okay.
And I was raised helping him do it yourself.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I'm naturally became, well, it didn't work the way for my brother because he don't do nothing. But I love it. Like to do stuff around the house. If I see, I could do that. Why should I pay somebody for something I can do myself?
Yeah.
And that's my mentality.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm trying to get out of that mentality and become more of a Republican and just pay people to do stuff.
It's not that. Look, you and I are not dissimilar, LB, because my dad also raised my mom, super independent. Do it yourself. But as you get... it's just time. It just comes down to time, dog. Like after a while, your time.
See, I had the time too. That's in their life.
You do. You hold on. Right. So right now for Claude and I, it would be time. Like time. Mm-hmm. Claude's got many businesses. Right. I'm just lazy. I want to focus my time on other things I want to do. So if it's something I don't care about, like yard work, hey man, here's $50. Here's $100. Go take care of it. But for you, it's not just time. Like Claude and I said, you only got so many golf miles left on them knees and that back and everything else. And we got Bandon coming up. We got to get you to Bandon. If you fall apart when you get home, that's fine. But we got to get you to the championship.
Right.
We're in a low management situation.
Low management.
By the way, speaking of your brother, he sometimes listens to the podcast because he'll text me. And so if your brother has anything to say about that, just go to golfdmv.com, get contact us, Lou, and then just send us an email and we'll
know it's true.
Fire off an angry email.
Yeah, just fire off an angry email. We've got so much coming up. We've got the PGA Tour stuff to talk about. Ricky Fowler almost made the Manny Millions for a second week in a row, which is unprecedented, by the way. And so if he's not breaking records on the course, he sure is breaking records with Golf DMV with making the Manny Millions twice in a row. But Vern, myself, Glenn, LB was supposed to be there, but had the back issues, obviously, played around at Needwood. And this was a really good round where everybody played well. First of all, shout out to the homie Glenn, broke 100 for the first time. I think he said he shot a 97. And I said, I couldn't think of a better day for him to shoot 97 than a day when I shot 87. I'm glad he shot 97 on a day when... I shot 87 because we can all be happy. And then Vern shot an 84. And it's just so funny because, you know, as everybody, like 2021 golf season is really grinding up with some like golf beef with Golf DMV. Like, you know, Vern's got this thing where he's got to beat Coach Lou. You know what I mean? It's a whole thing. And the whole team is coming for Coach Lou. Because I feel like if I catch him on a good day, one of my good days, I feel like I'm at the point now, and I'm just talking about from the last three rounds, not from any large sample, just three rounds, that, and I'm pretty sure Vern's going to send him this show so he can hear it. And the next time he's going to put $50 a hole. And but the point is that I feel like on my best day and he's on a bad day, I might be able to catch him. The whole team's coming for Coach Luke, right? Yeah. And then you've got the whole thing with me and Glenn. You know, I mean, it is what it is. And so I'm like, I'm digging in. I'm like, you know what? I'm glad you shot 97 on a day where I shot 87. It's possible he can catch. It is what it is. Whatever. And then you got Vern, who two rounds ago said, you know, I'm legit mad that Claude is like striking this ball. Everybody's getting, you know, their clubs fitted. It's a whole thing. Did anybody feel mm-hmm. any different about this year? Like, it's getting intense,
basically. Well, if Vern started it. Because he said at the beginning of the season,
we're all dropping our handicaps up.
Right. You threw the gauntlet down. It was like, you know, we're going to get this done. And you was like, we ain't taking no was not an option.
Yeah, we're all going to get better, but not, we're going to get better from where we started. Expense. Yeah, well, no, from where we started from. So okay. I will get, yeah, we'll just be, so I'll be shooting in the 80s, you'll be shooting in the mid 80s.
Right. Okay. You'll still be in front.
Yeah. I didn't mean for y'all to get better than me.
That's not what I mean.
Or for everyone to get better. But no, I'm sorry. I was going to say, it's been, I mean, like you said, the first three rounds, I mean, to my, you know, have been pretty good. We only missed the one, but he had a good round at, Oak Creek.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I feel like we might be on track here. Yeah.
And even the homie Aaron, who's so laid back, he's real chill. He kind of got into it the last round where, you know, there was a putt that you guys were willing to give LB, but Aaron was like, whoa, 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 that's downhill, sliding to the left. He got to putt that. Yeah. And so, I mean, so I wonder if anybody's experiencing that same kind of excitement, you know, within your own groups. Let us mm-hmm. know. Just go to golfdmv.com, hit contact us. But there was one thing that happened during our round that, you know, I want everybody's opinion on regarding, like, communication. Because in any relationship, communication is important. It doesn't matter whether it's a marriage relationship, you know, and I'm a communicator, but my wife and I, you know, we say things and think the other, we don't communicate the best, I guess. But there's this communication that's important in any relationship, you know what I mean? Yeah. And whether it's, you know, spousal or whether it's dating, whether it's friends, whatever, you got to communicate. But it's also the same on the golf course, right? And so you've got these situations where there's a blind shot. And we had this situation this past Sunday where we had this blind shot. It was on the back nine. I can't remember exactly what hole because I don't really remember like holes that way. But anyway, we're on the back nine. Glenn and I sit back and we're getting ready to tee off. Vern goes up, and Vern always volunteers first to go up to watch where everyone else's ball goes. Because he hits the furthest, probably, is because he wants to see where everybody else hits and he can go back and hit further than everyone else. So anyway, he goes back and he watches. And so Vern does this movement with both arms up like an NFL official, like, it's good. You know what I mean?
Right,
and
right.
For him, that means that, okay, it's good for you. It's clear for you guys to shoot because for you guys to hit because the group in front of us. Glenn and I are wondering, is that where we're supposed to hit? Because he's got his arms up and we're thinking, you know what I mean? And I remember one time we were at Little Bennett, I think, and Coach was playing with us, Coach Lou, and he was like, oh, Vern giving you a spot now, Claude? Vern giving you a spot? It's like, yo, Coach, I'm five strokes behind you. Calm down, bro. Like, you got, like I'm not a threat right now. I will be in June. I'm not right now. In June 2021, I'm not right now. So anyway, and so Vern puts it up, and I said, Glenn, I think that's Vern telling us that we're good to hit. So Vern and I hit, and then Vern comes back. Glenn goes up, and then Glenn, you know, because he's a smart guy, he does the exact same thing to Vern, put both arms up, because he understands this must be Vern's understanding of it's clear for you to hit.
Right.
Even though any other time we're telling someone to come on, we never do that.
No,
we never put.
I don't know why I did
that.
I don't know
we
why
just,
I did
we,
that.
We put our arm up with our hand and we say, "Come on, like come forward." It's now time.
Yeah, wave like,
hey,
something.
Maybe it's both arms saying, "Come forward." Maybe
like
it's
the guy on the airplane in the tarmac.
Or literally, we'll just scream, "Hey guys, it's clear!" Like things like that is how we normally communicate.
That make more sense than what I did. For some reason, I felt the need to put my arms up like it was a field goal. And now, as we talk about it now and we review it, it is more dumb as I think about it. Because I even think about if somebody's letting you play through, they don't put their arms up like a field goal.
They
have no idea what the hell that means.
On the golf course, we do these signals that literally means nothing else to any to the same group of people. Like Vern would never do that to us to say, come on, even if he's in his car and I'm about to back up, he's going forward. He literally would just do the hand signal. He would never put both arms up like a field goal. But for some reason on the golf course, we feel like that is sufficient. And not only is that a good thing for me to do, everyone else will understand it.
Right.
And I don't know why we do that. So let's iron out now here, like golf communication on the course. And let's just take it one step at a time.
Okay.
Not, you know, hey, you go ahead and putt, or if we're both about 80, 85 yards out from the green, who, you know, because we play ready golf. And so it doesn't matter. But every now and again, we're both taking practice swings. We look at each other. Hey, you go, you know, not any of that. Just the blind spot. What is the safe blind spot signal to let everyone in your group know, okay, it's cool to tee off?
I would do the wave.
Okay.
Like, come on.
A normal person?
Yeah. At the bend at the elbow, arm out straight, bend at the elbow, wave the person forward.
Now, let me be clear. I agree with that. That's what it should be. But sometimes if you're far enough away, it needs to be demonstrative. Maybe you have to do like a whole arm wave, like demonstrative, so we can see. Because if you do like a small motion from far away, it might look like you're just, you know.
Right. I don't know. Shooting flies or something.
Exactly.
Right. Well, and the weight needs to be demonstrable. So maybe two arms straight out.
Yeah.
With the hands out, like stop. Almost
which is like a universal signal. I don't know why I don't like
Diana Ross and the Supreme, stop in the name of love, but you put two hands out.
One,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then, you know,
this is silly. Maybe
because we need to discuss this stuff because I feel as if we hit down on the group. Like I feel like you hit down on the group that was
I definitely did. Like yeah, I guess I did. But Glenn waved me up. He said they were good. He knew I'm not blaming him, but he waved. I assumed they were coming off the green. Yeah. And so when I hit my ball,
we assumed they were coming off the green. We don't know whether Glenn waved you down because they were on the green or not. But it was a short par four, one that you could reach, you know, driving.
Yeah. So for those playing along, basically, just imagine any par four that has basically a hill, you know, goes downhill, and you can't see over the hill, and it was only like 275. To the green. So you're hitting over the hill blind. So our guy's at the precipice. He's at the top of the hill looking down at the green, and he waved me up and I hooked it, but I hooked it left of the green. It was down there basically on the cart path right next to it. So if they were coming off, they definitely could have got hit. Hopefully they were already off. I mean, I'm not sure. They were playing slow. I don't care.
Wake up call for them. Slow.
And afterwards, one of the guys were in a group of about eight gentlemen who were in a bench ahead of us who listens to the podcast. One gentleman, by the way, made a funny comment. Like, I know you guys look familiar. I didn't know whether carjacked y'all or whether I knew y'all from golf, which was odd because he seemed to be an older gentleman to be into the carjacking game to me. But, whatever you do is what you do. Hey. It doesn't matter to me. But
everybody has a history.
Yeah, but one of the guys was in the group right ahead of us, and he was wearing a red shirt, not the Washington football team shirt, because that was the old guy.
Tiger red.
Yeah, he was wearing the tiger red. He couldn't play, and he was with that group, and they had money on the line. I'm just wondering, why would this guy get into money games when he is obviously not a player?
It was some club throwing. It was some stuff.
Really?
He was very upset.
He seemed like he was having a rough front. Definitely. Okay. So going forward, like LB said, the issue, everyone will do a demonstrative wave forward, and then we'll do stop, except me. I'll now, henceforth, forever, will continue to do field goal signals whenever I want somebody to come forward. If I want somebody to play through, I'm just going to do a field goal signal. And if they don't understand, you know, I just want to hear them on the tee box. What is he? Is it? It's good.
What is he talking about?
What does that mean?
Is he giving us a target? I don't understand.
There you go.
I'm hitting.
But we had fun Sunday. Like I said, I shot an 87. Again, third straight round, under 90. Glenn broke 100. I told Glenn that he's got two seasons before I stop encouraging him on the course. After this 97, it's closer to one season. One more season before I stop encouraging him on the course.
Then he on his own.
Exactly. Vern shot the 84. Same thing, you know, Vern keeps shooting under 85. There'll be one less season that I will be encouraging. And I won't be discouraged. I won't be negative. I just won't be positive. Right. I'll be neutral. I'll be focusing on my game.
Right. There you go. Change the playlist, you'll be fine.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, LB sent a text to everybody about Sunday saying no phones. Like we're going on a digital detox, basically.
Right.
And then he canceled. And so the first thing I said to Verb, like, did you bring the speaker? Because we're going to be listening to music. And that's exactly what we did on the course. So we felt great about that round.
Oh, one more thing before you all leave me. But I noticed you all did ride in the cart. Nobody walked. What's up with that?
Load management.
We feel we don't need to start preparing for walking Bandon until close to the end of this season.
Don't we have to walk at Pinehurst? We do have carts of pine.
We do, but that's two courses.
Two.
As opposed to five days of.
When is Pinehurst again? When is that? June.
Yeah.
June.
So I'll probably walk once or twice before that. And Pinehurst will service. Okay. Yeah, service some of that warm up or whatever. And then we'll get on into the season. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
LB seems not convinced about it, but we'll see how it works out. Yeah. Let's jump to the PGA Tour. So we had the Honda Classic. Mm-hmm. Literally, I watched way more March Madness and basketball than I watched of any of the golf tournament. I didn't watch. I literally didn't watch any of it. I watched very little of it. Did you guys watch any of this?
Yeah, I did.
Well, since you're being honest, I did not. I did not see any of that. Well, you know, nope, take that back. I did Thursday and Friday towards the end because I was checking for Kamayu. I did check in at the end. I was watching my streaming, I guess, while I was on Golf Channel or whatever. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I didn't see anything this weekend. No. He did not.
He finished that though. So we'll go right into it. So Matt Jones was the winner. He's an Australian guy from Australia, obviously. he finished at minus 12. I think he won by 5 strokes, I want to say. Nice. Something like that. Quickly, he was paired with J.B. Holmes. J.B. Holmes, I think, at the time was 2 shots back when they started. J.B. Holmes finished the round at plus 9.
Wow. Plus 9?
Yes.
That's not the way you want to play on a Sunday.
Yeah, he went plus 9 on Sunday. It was terrible. It was terrible. And he plays really slow. And the announcers were really giving, he couldn't hear him, obviously, but they were like, you know, I understand you play slow and they need to start finding this guy because he just plays so slow. Mm. And I don't know if you don't see much of, but Matt Jones is a very fast player. He plays like Claude used to play. What even he take a practice swing? He'll see the ball, he'll come up to the talk to the scatty, he walks up, he hits it. Done. Mm-hmm. There's no bones about his deal. But they talk bad about J.B. Holmes and his slow play and that he should be fined for that. Because when the last time I think the PGA said something to J.B. about his slow play, J.B. basically response was, well, I play slow and I'm not changing how I play.
Okay.
Up yours. So Matt Jones won $1.26 million. This is only his second win on the PGA Tour. And he started on the tour in 2001.
Wow. So, I mean, two wins on tour and you've got like $2 million easily with those two wins.
Yeah, I thought I wrote it down. Yeah, his career earnings, just so you know, out of 330 events that he's played, he has 2 wins, $15 million over a 20-year career.
Okay.
So it's a little bit, you know.
A little bit under $1 million a year.
Yeah, something like that.
Probably, $650 or $700?
FedEx Cup purse last year? $10
million? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
DJ just like, I'll take that.
Yeah, whatever. Right. He's the fourth player this season to win on tour over 40 years old. And we just spoke about Kamayu Johnson. He did not make the cut. He finished both rounds at plus 20, total of plus 20. I think he went 11 and 9 on his first and second round. Manny's Millions. We'll go to that real quick for the Honda Classic. We actually had a tie. Mr. Bronson Bragoon and Mr. Kerdek Upper Barn Rat. I know I can say his last
Abby name. Barn Rat, yeah.
Yeah, first name.
Cataract or something like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they both finished at plus 10. They both won $14,700. Quickly, Bronson is 6'2", 33 years old, 190 pounds with the Texas A&M, went pro in 2010. And their Manny Means number is actually really close. So I'm going to give you both of their stats.
Okay.
And then we'll do the Manny Means and we'll do them both because their numbers are actually surprisingly close.
Okay.
Upper Barn Rat is 5'8", 229 pounds.
Ooh. Yeah. 5'8", 200 and what?
229.
229 at 5'8"?
5'8", yeah. If you've seen him, he's a pudgy little guy. He's 31 years old. He's from Bangkok, Thailand. He went pro in 2008. Okay, here's his numbers. He has 0 wins, 0 second wins, 2 third places, 9 top tens. Out of 76 events, he has 47 cuts. All right, now back to Mr. Bronson, Bragoon, Texas A&M graduate. He turned pro in 2010. He has no wins, 2 second place, no third places, 5 top tens. Out of 104 events, he made 52 cuts. What is their
exactly? Yeah. Okay.
Their career earnings. Claude, I believe you still have the driver's seat for this.
Okay, I do, and I will elect to go first.
Okay.
I'm not even worried about Brunson. Mm-hmm. Eddie Barnrat. I mean, when you talk about the amount of top tens he has, I'm going to go with right around $3 million in earnings. So I feel like that's enough to get him over the million mark. Mm-hmm. And with multiple ones, I'm thinking just $3
million. Okay.
Okay. I had them both probably sitting right at like 4.5.
Okay. This is interesting then. So you 3 and you're 4.5. Mm-hmm. The number is, okay, so Brunson is $3.3 million.
I'm closer on that one.
And Apple Barnrat is 3.6. So you're 600,000.
Yeah, that's you closer are to
nine.
Closer
to, he's 900.
You're 9. Yeah. So Clark gets both of them.
I guess he wins both. Things.
He wins both, yeah.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen.
Just one little quick note. Apple Barnrat likes racing cars, but he stopped because he determined it was deemed to be too dangerous.
It is. I mean, race cars.
He determined that all on his own?
that was my thought. Was like,
congratulations.
So you love car racing and you was right. doing it, and mm-hmm. then you decided mm-hmm. it was too dangerous. You didn't know that going in.
Like you saw mm-hmm. a TV one day, it was like, oh, these accidents can happen. This is dangerous.
yeah.
Well, yeah. There he goes.
Yes.
So coming up this week in golf for us, I know for sure on the 25th, I have a driver fitting. Looking forward to that with my guy, John Ross. Coming up this weekend, we have a round at Falls Road.
Falls Road, yeah.
Not sure yet if I'll be able to participate. It is possible that I will participate or not. LB's getting on me because there's stuff that I do with my church and back fellowship. And it's like, you know, some people want to help, get somebody else to do it. Sure. And I can, but the top two that I thought would be able to do it, I don't know if they're going to be able to do it. So anyway, we'll figure out if I can make it out. But LB, your back seems to be straight. It looks like you may
it's, be it's moving in the right direction. I'm going to really try and heed the doctor's orders and try and take it easy. But I really want to get, I don't want to lose my momentum on my workout, but I'm going to try and take it easy.
Exactly. And so we will check in with Dr. Smith to make sure that she advises you to take it easy. And also to make sure that we can record live at her grand opening at the new space and record live at the wedding reception.
Yes.
We'll also want to make sure that you guys check out golfdmv.com. The hat that Vernon has on right now, you can purchase that hat in many different colors, shapes and sizes to fit your various head sizes if you want at golfdmv.com. Glenn, by the way, had one on, I believe, and I didn't realize it until we were getting ready to leave. So shout out to Glenn for that. You guys can purchase your GolfDMV stuff and hot off the presses, the GolfDMV mask.
Yes, I've got sewn by these right very here. Hands.
Shout out to Brenda. Mm-hmm. Brenda Gilbert, by the way, who's a friend of the show. She doesn't play golf. I don't think she's ever held a golf club in her hand. Maybe she has.
She's gone to Top Golf, and she told me about this recently, and I was a little disturbed because she didn't invite me. And I thought we was friends. So
first of all, Brenda, the next time you go to Top Golf, you've got to invite Golf DMV out. She's got two Golf DMV hats and the Golf DMV bag, and her mask was just shipped in the mail the other day. That's Brenda, awesome. top Golf DMV fan and family member. Don't let her outdo you. I know all the people who listen to this podcast and comment. And if you don't buy something from the store, we're just going to ban you from commenting on stuff. It's not even gonna, I mean, honestly. No. Okay. Anyway, we'll talk to you guys next week. And as we close the show, I'm looking at my stopwatch here. It says 28 minutes. Take that, Sierra. Take that, Keisha. Less than 30 minutes. We're not keeping your husbands all night long. Take that, Brenda. Show's over. All right, y'all.